Cape Talk. Cape Talk. WhatsApp Pippa
on 072-567-1567.
Hey Pippa, Lyndon here in Noordhoek. Well, I worked with a test pilot at Airbus whose name was Fernando Alonso, who used to get the Helen because he was also Spanish. And of course, everybody loved the fact that he had the same name as the Formula One driver who was world champion at the same time. But probably the funniest thing that happened to me was another former colleague of mine, also a Spanish guy, whose name was Jesus or Jesus. And I was sitting at the cricket at Newlands once, and he called me, and I answered my phone, "Hey, Jesus, how's it going?" And got some rather strange looks from the people around me, and I sort of calmly explained that I had a direct line to the guy. Anyway, there you go. Cheers.
Thanks, Lennon. I love the fact that there was a test pilot called Fernando Alonso. I mean, the driver did almost make a couple of those cars go airborne a few times. I'm thinking of his season with Ferrari in particular, so all's fair. Okay, keep those voice notes coming if you've got funny coincidences like that or stories of people who share a name with another famous person. We will move from talking about flying Ferrari drivers to a slightly not quite so fast but equally interesting car. Ernest Page is with us on the line to talk cars today and to take your motoring questions. Just a reminder that you can call us on 021-446-0567 or leave a voice note on 072-567-1567. Ernest, of course, from changecars.co.za. If you're looking to change yours and you need some advice, here's the day to call us. Ernest, lovely to have you with us again. Welcome.
Fantastic to be back, Pippa, and I don't think the cars that we're talking about today would get Fernando Alonso quite excited, but maybe Stanley, who knows? Maybe.
Who knows? Okay, let's start with the car you're driving right now, and it's because lots of surprised faces in the motoring industry last week when the car of the year was announced, and for the first time ever, it was a Bucky, and I believe you're actually driving the Bucky in question at the moment.
Yeah. It just arrived this morning. It's the Ford Ranger XLT, and that is your car of the year. And what's interesting to me is that the car of the year is officially in the zeitgeist. It's been something that many people haven't spoken about for many years. They've tried to sort the formatting out, the judging out, etc. And now I think they're starting to get that recipe figured out, and people are kind of talking about it. I'm getting asked about this car quite often. And the Ford Ranger itself, it's the first time in the 37-year history of Car of the Year Awards that a Bucky has won it. But why not? Because South Africa is Bucky crazy. Our best-selling car is the Hilux, which is, I'm sure that the other people are kicking the dirt at the moment because they would have liked to have been the first. But the Ford Ranger, by all accounts, from my experience, it's a very worthy recipient of the award. Because if you're looking at the top spec models, then you've got something that's redefined what a leisure Bucky is. They've got massive screens inside, incredible comfort, and decent value when you compare it to the competitors who are still stuck in their old spec where it's more Bucky than leisure. But because the industry is moving away from the utilitarian vehicles, but more towards something that you can use for everything, the leisure Bucky is very popular at the moment. So at the top spec, they've got that covered.
Okay.
Then they've got the bottom spec side of things where if you want to buy something for the company, I mean, I don't know if I would get an entry-level plumber one of these Buckies because it looks amazing and it's fully loaded with features and, again, comfortable inside but also able to do most of the day-to-day running about things. So they've got the single cab and the smaller entry-level Buckies covered as well. And then the mid-level with a club cab, if you could save, we did the calculations, if you did the backpack, you could save 300,000 Rand on a Wildtrak club cab, which is the first time they've launched the Wildtrak in club cab form. So if you are a business owner and you did the math and you were up to date with your taxes, you could save 300,000 Rand on a Wildtrak Bucky. So they've done, I think it's a worthy recipient by all accounts, because for me, it's addressing a lot of the issues that South Africans have, and that's kind of what we want to do.
Okay, last question before we talk about what Toyota's doing is, Ernest, what's it like to drive? Are you having fun in the driver's seat?
So far, so good, but I'm not having most of the fun. Craig, my videographer, who works with me, he's driving the Bucky at the moment, and we were towing today, so we towed my race car around today. I'm giving Craig lessons on how to tow properly and, you know, taking the wide lines and all these things. I've just been enjoying the comfort features in the Bucky because as far as comfort goes, remember we spoke a couple of months ago that the Amarok was the most comfortable Bucky that I've ever driven. since then, I've now driven the Wildtrak, and it's based on the same platform. I think that VW have tuned their one to be even more comfortable and more sort of leisure focused, but this one certainly has got all of that comfort features, and it's very much loaded with all of those features. So you've got the big screen, Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, electric everything, and reach adjustable steering, so you can really get comfortable in the car. Ford has always had good sound systems in their buggy, so you've got all of those things. I haven't spent an extensive amount of time with it, so I think maybe next week we can come back with a full review. But from my perspective, I think this is a worthy winner of car of the year. And also the other thing is, if you look at how many of these are on the road at the moment, I have, and this is not hyperbole, I have never seen a new car hit the road this quickly. Within 2 weeks, they were everywhere. And that just shows that South Africans like this buggy, and they will continue to buy it.
Okay, well, enjoy the drive and look forward to hearing more feedback on the experience once you've had a bit more time behind the wheel. Ernest, as you say, Toyota are wishing it had been them. I guess the sales figures on the Hilux are a little bit of a comfort to take to bed on a cold night. But let's talk about a couple of other reasons to be talking about Toyota this week. Shall we start with the Vitz?
Yes, the Vitz, the Toyota Vitz. It's a compact, teeny tiny car. It's their cheapest car at the moment, the most cost-effective car at the moment, starting at $189,900, and they specifically put it below the 200,000 Rand mark. For those with a keen eye, it is effectively a Celerio, but no surprises now in this day and age, because we know that Toyota and Suzuki are working very closely together. The Celerio you can pick up for 183,000 if you wanted to. This one's 189,000. But Toyota and each one of them have their own sort of benefits. You do get a 2-year, 30,000 kilometer service plan, which is about the minimum that you would get from Toyota these days. And you get a 3-year, 100,000 kilometer warranty. I've driven the car. It's peppy. It's what you'd expect. It's very sure-footed. That's the one thing that kind of stood out for me. It doesn't feel like certain lightweight cars that feel like they're kind of going to topple over or anything like that. This one feels very, very sure-footed, very, very easy to drive, but at the same time, you know, it's fun to drive as well. Mm-hmm. And those little check boxes are for the first-time buyer, I think it's important to still have fun in your little car that uses, in this car, 4.2 to 4.4 liters per 100, so you've got the economy.
Okay.
It's got decent spec inside. Of course, there are plastics everywhere. The entire interior is plastic.
Sure.
But for under 200,000 Rand, you know, what do you expect? And it is also available in automated manual transmission, or AMT, which is a version of an automatic gearbox, if you wanted to. There are three specs available. The entry-level one, which is not half bad. And then I think the pick for me is certainly at the moment, because I haven't driven the AMT, but the manual at 219,000. But now you can get an automatic car for 239,900 with a decent auto. It's tiny, easy to drive, fun to drive, with a warranty. I think this is definitely going to be one of their best sellers, especially with their financing packages available.
Going to be very appealing, absolutely. When you talk first-time young drivers who are likely to be in the market for this kind of car, Ernest, obviously safety is one thing that is often sacrificed to stay in the entry-level models. What are the kind of safety features on this car?
It's got ABS. It's got the model that we drove had the DSC, the skid control, and that to me is absolutely important. Skid control, it's got two airbags. Stability control is what they're calling it. And what that means is, if you lose control of the car, we are unable to brake with one wheel at a time. It's not possible, because you've got one pedal for all four wheels to slow your car down. What the system does is it can snatch at various wheels to pull the car back in line if you lose control. So that for me is just an absolute must on the roads these days, and this car has it. And we've seen this trend over the years, the most entry-level cars have them. So when shopping around, I definitely think for entry-level shoppers out there, you're buying a car for your kids, get stability control is an absolute must. This car does have it. Again, ADS, it's got parking sensors at the back. So even though you can pretty much reach all the way to the back with one arm, it still lets you know when you're about to bump into something. It's got child locks and ISOFIX child restraint systems as well.
Okay, thanks so much for the heads up. So that's the Toyota Vitz, V-I-T-Z. For those who are in the market for a starter car, if you like, it's definitely one worth checking out. Or you could opt for Toyota's other offering and not buy at all, but rather opt to lease a car. Tell us more about the system, Ernest.
So Toyotas have this financing option at the moment. On this car specifically, it's $2,999 per month, and you can finance this car for 6 months to 60 months. It is something that they're talking about. It's more than often geared toward businesses. And on a car like this, it's also a good mobility option. Everything is included, included insurance, maintenance. The only thing you pay for is fuel, and you can even get tires covered as well. But I'm always hesitant when it comes to sort of leasing a car, because you never get the car. But the stats show that more and more people are leasing cars, and then more and more people are getting, and I'd love to hear from the listeners on this one, because I'm not an expert on this topic, so I'm actually asking colleagues of mine and friends that know what exactly these pitfalls are. And one of the big pitfalls that is quite obvious is the balloon payment at the end when it comes to leasing a car usually.
Okay.
Because nowadays you get that balloon payment up very, very high, and then find yourself pretty much financing or refinancing the same amount that you just paid off for a car that you've spent 5 years with, but you still owe $200,000-$400,000 on the car because of a balloon payment. So now what? Now you're stuck in that cycle. You've got to refinance it, get a car from the same manufacturer, etc. This does not have a balloon payment at the end. So I think there is some merit to that, because if the stats show that many people are leasing their cars and having to pay a balloon payment, if the calculations line up for you as an individual, then, you know, then maybe it's something to look at. But I would always caution against leasing something. Maybe then rather just get a 2, 3, 4, 5 year old car that's got all the requirements that you're after. Having said that, personally, I would look at, for myself, for example, I would look into leasing a sports car for 6 months. And maybe splitting the costs with my business partner or something like that. You know, and then weekends I get the car, weekdays he gets the car. But I just don't see myself recommending this as yet without much, much, much further investigation. It's a new product. It's been on sale since October last year, but they've just launched it now. I think people need to be very cautious about this, and I'd love to get Wendy Nola's opinion on this, or maybe have a panel discussion. I'll even come into the studio if need be, because this to me definitely bears further investigation.
I like the sound of that. Okay, I'll have a chat with Wendy Nola and see if she is keen. I bet she will be, Ernest. Thanks for that. Right, we've only got a minute or two left, and I'd love to just squeeze in one or two listener questions. While we're talking Buckies, somebody commenting, I'd love a Bucky, but the prices are just ridiculous. There are no small Buckies in the market now that the bland Nissan NP200 is out. Will we be seeing a new small Bucky in the class of the Corsa or Chev Buckies coming to our shores anytime soon?
Yes, the O-Roc. I don't think that's the way you pronounce it, actually, but that's a Renault Bucky that is now, they are rumored to be coming through. And the Renault double cab Bucky, by all accounts, it looks like it's heading our way.
Okay.
So I'm still waiting for absolute confirmation, but it's been at Nampo in May. On the 18th of May, they were showing it up at Nampo, and it's supposed to cost between 400 and 450,000 rand. So if the Duster Bucky does land, I think that's going to be the one to get, because the Duster is one of my favorite cars. I always said that would be my apocalypse car. Mm. What better to have than a Duster Bucky, just in case the apocalypse comes again.
Okay, we'll think of you when that time comes, Ernest, and hope you're in a Renault Duster Bucky. Okay, last one, very, very quickly from Anthea, who says, I'd like to buy a second-hand Honda Jazz, but good ones are hard to come by because they're so popular. What would you recommend as the best alternative or most similar car?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I'll need to research that. I'm going to save that one for next week if you don't mind.
Okay, sure.
Because the Honda Jazz is quite a specific car. It's got a massive following in South Africa. And for some of us, I don't see why in some ways, but the people that have them, they absolutely love it. So what I'll do is I'll speak to the panel at Change Cars. We'll come up with some answers, and then we'll see what we can come up with.
Look forward to starting there next week. Ernest Page, thank you as always for all the advice for our listeners. Drive safely, please, behind the wheel of that Ford Ranger, and we'll chat again next week, Wednesday.